Mary thinking about when that whole Christmas story was unfurling around her? Now, there are some worksheets for the very young ones. I don't know if they found those at the back with some pens and things. There are some pens on the back table there if you want to do that. You're very welcome. However, I would just say that we've got a quiz in the middle, which you may want to join in with. There's no prizes today, no food at all, I'm afraid, so I do apologise for that in advance. But what we're thinking about, as I say, is what Mary was thinking about. Now, clearly, she wouldn't have known some of the specifics that song mentions, that Jesus would walk on water, that he would calm a storm. However, what did she know? She received many messages from God during the course of the Christmas story, and she saw those events unfold. Our text or title for this talk asks that question. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. And then it's repeated at the end of the chapter, Luke 2. But his mother treasured all these things in her heart. Now, one thing about the Bible is it doesn't waste words. If something is repeated, it's repeated for a reason, such as to give it specific importance. And perhaps that's why we're looking at it this morning. It is something that is important. What was Mary treasuring up? And what I want to do this morning is briefly think about what did she treasure, and then what did she do as a result? What effect did that have on Mary? And then what should we learn from those same events? Well, firstly then, let's just think as a way of background, who was Mary? What do we know about her? Well, she was probably a young woman. She was engaged, but not yet married when we start our story. She was a woman in a male-dominated world. She was a Jew in a country occupied by a foreign invader, the Romans. She was probably poor, and she was certainly not rich. And she was about to become an unmarried mother in a society which utterly condemned such behaviour. Some have called her a victim. Yet she was chosen by God to be the earthly mother of his only son, Jesus. We're going to see that Mary was a woman of faith who would be faithful to her child all the way to his death over 30 years later. But what I want to do is really focus on the story of Christmas, using Luke's account to see what Mary was thinking about when she was treasuring and pondering these things in her heart. Now, there were five key episodes leading up to that second statement, all in Luke 1 and Luke 2. What were those five episodes? Well, firstly, there was the visit of the angel Gabriel. There was Mary's visit to Elizabeth. Then there were the actual events of Jesus' birth, the presentation of Jesus as a baby at the temple, and then Jesus' visit to the temple age 12. All those events happen in the course of Luke 1 and 2, leading up to the second mention of Mary treasuring those things in her heart. Now, of course, we can't look at all of Luke 1 and 2. To some extent, the series leading up to Christmas here at Argyle will do some of that. But let's just touch upon some of these things. Let's get a feel. Well, the first thing was that Mary was visited by the angel Gabriel. Mary's reaction was that she was greatly troubled, we read in the account. Now, I expect we might have been scared witless. But Mary wasn't. She wasn't scared witless. She answers the angel with a very sensible question and then accepts the angel's words that she will give birth to a son and that he will be the Son of God. She shows her complete obedience to God. Now, we could stop there, actually, and just think, spend the rest of our time this morning just thinking about that. Mary immediately accepts God. But we'll go on. Then she visits her relative, Elizabeth. Now, Elizabeth, as you may know, was also pregnant. She was going to give birth to John. And as Mary comes through the door and greets Elizabeth, Elizabeth is inspired, we're told in the Bible, by the Holy Spirit to say, "Why am I so favoured that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" In other words, Elizabeth confirms what Gabriel had told her. Now, do I need to go on and retell the events of Jesus' birth? They're so well known. How the Romans forced her to go on a journey to Bethlehem when she was on the verge of giving birth. Then how there'd been no room at the inn, and she'd had to use a manger as a crib. How she had visitors. Firstly, shepherds, who had been told that her son was the Christ. And secondly, perhaps sometime later, we're not sure, and this is from Matthew's account, men from the east came with gifts. Then there had been those two older people, Simeon and Anna, who had been convinced that her child Jesus would be the salvation to the Gentiles as well as her own people. Then, when Jesus was just 12 years old, there was that incident when he was left behind at the temple. But he had shown an amazing understanding with all the teachers who had been there when they found him again after 3 days. All these things Mary pondered and treasured in her heart. So she saw a great deal in that time. But what did she do? Well, there are three things that I want to bring out today. Some we've already seen already, but let's just bring those out from what Mary did. Firstly, she believed. Mary believed. Luke 1:38 tells us that. In response to the angel Gabriel's announcement that she is to give birth to the Son of God, Mary answers, "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." Mary believed. And I think actually you can see a similarity with someone becoming a Christian today. Mary was told to believe a supernatural event that was going to happen in the future. When we become Christians, we're called to believe a series of supernatural events, including that Jesus was going to be born, but also that Jesus was going to die. A series of supernatural events that have already happened, but we're called to have faith that in them. And that's in contrast to the crowd later in Luke's Gospel's account, whose response to Jesus was, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" Not, "Isn't this the Son of God?" but, "Isn't this Joseph's son?" So Mary believed. Two, she acted on her faith. Mary had a role to play. Not only did she have to face suspicion, she had to give birth, obviously. She had to raise the child Jesus. And then she was to follow Jesus all the way to his death. If you like, her actions in her life demonstrate her faith. And thirdly, Mary treasured God. Mary treasured all that she thought about, all that she'd learned in the course of that time. And we can see that in the song that she sings in Luke 1:46, the Magnificat, as it's called, and it's so called that because the first word is that, Magnificat, glorifies, is the first word in Latin. And let me just read the first couple of verses from the Magnificat. And Mary said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Saviour." This shows that Mary, in response to Elizabeth praising God, gives any glory back to God. Mary is a humble woman, like Jesus, her son will be. And she's a wonderful example to us in that. And the words that Mary uses in that Magnificat are very close to a number of prophets, including that of Habakkuk, have used in the Old Testament. In other words, she knows her Old Testament. She's not an unlearned woman in some ways. She knows what God has told in the Old Testament, and she applies that to her situation. She's treasuring, and then she's pondering, in the light of God's word, what that means to her. Now, if you've got a Bible open, please close it. Now, you don't normally get told that in church, unless, and it's your clue, of course, that there's going to be a quiz. And it wouldn't be Christmas without a Christmas quiz. So it's a very simple quiz. Well, a very simple quiz on one level, anyway. What did Mary know according to the Bible? It's a simple true or false quiz. There are no prizes, I'm afraid. Sorry about that. There's no teams. There is a right and a wrong answer. And all I'm asking you to do is put your hand up if you think that according to the Bible, it's true that Mary would have known the following. So if we can have the first question, please. Thank you. The angel Gabriel told Mary that her baby would be called the Son of God. Now, hands up if you think that's true. Anyone going to put their hand up for that? Do you think that's true? The angel Gabriel told Mary that her baby would be called the Son of God. Right up high, right? Some people are hedging their bets, I see. Okay. Well, if you can see the answer, it's true. It's in Luke. Very simple question. I assume that the people who kept their hands down weren't necessarily thinking false, but we'll give you the benefit of the doubt there. Second question. Gabriel told Mary that she had found favour with God. Hands up if you think that's true. Hands right up, yep. Yeah. Well, let's see the answer. It's true, yes. Very easy, isn't it? So it's very straightforward. Okay, next question. Mary travelled on a donkey from Nazareth to Bethlehem. Hands up if you think that's true. Let's see the answer. It's false. There's no donkey going from... In fact, there's no donkey at all in the Christmas story, which is interesting, isn't it? Next question. Jesus was born in a stable. Hands up if you think that's true. Hands up. Let's see the answer. It's false. We're told there was a manger. We're not told it was born in a stable. Next question. The angel Gabriel appeared to the shepherds near Bethlehem. Hands up if you think that's true. A couple of hands have gone up. Let's see the answer. False. The angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. We're just told that angels appeared to the shepherds. Next question. Joseph was a righteous man. Hands up if you think that's true. Let's see the answer. It's true, yes. We're told that in Matthew's account. Next question. There were stars in the sky above Bethlehem the night Jesus was born. Hands up if you think that's true. See the answer? It's false, I'm afraid. Now, you could say that there are stars above us now, couldn't you? You could say that, but you can't see them. And we're not told that anyone could see any stars above Bethlehem when Jesus was born. It's quite interesting, actually, doing the children's nativity sheet, every picture of Jesus' nativity scene just about has a star above it. Anyway, let's go on to the next question. Jesus left Bethlehem before he was 2 weeks old. Do you think that's true? Hands up. There's one hand up. Right. It is true. Well done. He went to Jerusalem to be presented to the temple when he was 8 days old. Next question. There were three magi who came to visit Jesus. True or false? Everyone's going. Let's see the answer. It's false. We're told that there were three gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We're not told the number of magi who came. And the final question. After visiting Jesus, the magi were warned in a dream to go back home via Egypt to avoid Herod. Is that true or false? Who thinks it's true? You're wrong. It's false. They weren't told to go to Egypt. It was Jesus who went to Egypt. Well, the purpose of that quiz, really... was to wake you up a little bit, of course. But more seriously, perhaps to challenge you so that you don't know all that there is to know about the Christmas story. Sometimes we start to think that the traditions around the Christmas story that we take almost as true, like that there were animals dotted around in the stable as Jesus was born, are true in the Bible. But they're not. And it's important for us, if you like, to consider the true claims of Jesus, to be able to strip those things back and just look at what the Bible tells us. Now, before we think about what we treasure, I've got two illustrations to give. Now, one is more serious than the other. Let me give you a very poor illustration of how one person remembers and treasures an event. Let me take you back to a May evening in 1989. My team, Arsenal, had not won the league for nearly as long as I could remember. And that year, they had been in front in the league for large chunks of the season, but they'd lost their final two games, the home games, against far weaker teams. Now, on that last day of the season, they had to go to Liverpool and win by two clear goals, an unlikely event, because Liverpool's home ground was a bit of a fortress. And if they won by two goals, the team that would suffer was Liverpool, who was going on to win the title. And it was live on TV. The 90 minutes was up, which is the length of a football game. It just had the extra time to play, and Arsenal still needed another goal. And I can still remember the TV commentary. It's Thomas bursting through the midfield. It's all up for grabs now. Arsenal won in the final seconds of extra time. And as you can see, it's a moment I treasure. but for most soon forgotten. I'm a little surprised, actually, that Neil didn't pull the PA on me at that point and start playing you I'll Never Walk Alone or something, given his supporting tendencies. Now, as I say, that's a poor illustration. Firstly, I know that's a poor illustration because football will not mean much to many of you, and I apologise for that. But more importantly, it's a poor illustration because football is so insignificant, isn't it? Compared to what Mary was considering. Hopefully I demonstrated how I treasured a sporting triumph. But I expect there are things that you get excited about. Perhaps something came to mind earlier in the service when Anthony was talking us through what we would take in a crisis. However, these things are insignificant, whether it's the toys we play with or whether it's something you treasure, like football, or something else, how tall your sunflowers grow. Perhaps that's something you treasure. I don't know. But there'll be something that you treasure in your life. Now, the second illustration is more serious. But it shows that nothing is more important than considering the claims of Jesus. Horatio Spafford was a successful American businessman with a wife, Anna, and five children. However, he lost much of his business in the Great Fire, Chicago Fire of 1871. He lived in that century. And that same year, earlier in that year, his only son, Horatio Jr., had died of pneumonia. 2 years later, the family was due to go to Europe. But at the last minute, a business problem meant that Horatio couldn't go. However, the family travelled on ahead of him. The ship that the family were travelling on, or the rest of the family were travelling on, collided with another in mid-Atlantic, sinking in just 12 minutes, with 226 passengers drowned, including all of his daughters. His wife, Anna, was pulled from the sea alive and made her way with other survivors to Cardiff, where she sent this telegram: "Saved alone, what shall I do?" Well, Horatio followed across the Atlantic to be with his wife. And the master of that ship called Horatio to him when they got to the point where the other ship had gone down. And it was on that journey that Horatio wrote a well-known hymn that we still sing today. "When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul." Now, it is a sad story, but the Spaffords both blessed God afterwards. But I think we can all identify with something that Anna, the wife, was heard to say when travelling on to Cardiff after the tragedy, which was this: "God gave me four daughters, now they have been taken from me. Someday I will understand why." Now, family is important. Much in the Bible tells us that. But God's way is that we put him first. Coming back to our story for a moment, Mary had a son who was going to die before her, and we're told that she was at the cross to witness it. An horrific experience. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother. And she had echoes that this was going to happen, even in the events of his birth. We haven't looked at those. What did Mary know? Well, by the end of her life, she obviously knew much more. But even by the time we're told that she was considering it, she was obedient to the message of God, and she knew that her baby, Jesus, was to be the saviour of the world. So finally then, what is it that we need to consider, you and I? Well, it's the same thing that Mary considered. We have more of the details. We have the details of Christ's life in the Gospels, how the reactions of his disciples in the early church, in the book of Acts and in the letters. So we know more. But the question is, do you accept Jesus is the saviour of the world? The birth of Jesus is good news. He is the saviour. Individually, we can experience his mercy. Mary says in her Magnificat, which we haven't had time to look at, "His mercy extends to those who fear him from generation to generation." The message of God's mercy is for all generations. So what am I calling us to do? Well, if you're a Christian today, you should follow Mary's lead and treasure things of the Lord in our hearts. It reiterates a text actually from earlier in the Heart series, from 2 Thessalonians. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. But if you haven't accepted Jesus as Lord, I urge you to ponder the events of Christmas seriously. The message of Christmas is that God became man in order to be the saviour of the world. All God asks is that you believe that. And if you do, as a result of that, you will want to follow the ways of your heavenly master. How can you ponder these things? Well, make every effort to come to the services that we've got coming up to Christmas, when we're going to be going through the story in Luke, so you can hear and think about that message. You could read a gospel yourself. The Bible describes Jesus' time on earth. Or you could read this short 15-page booklet by Rico Tice that I put up on the screen. It will tell you that Christmas is not about having a happy day. And I quote from the booklet, it's about God getting involved in human history to solve the problem. And when you grasp that, Christmas Day becomes truly happy. And as a teaser, and to show it's very easy to read, you can see the first few lines, if we go on to the next slide, of the book. They're in the foyer at the back, or grab me afterwards. Thank you for listening. Let's sing.